There is something remarkable about Jesus' sacrifice for us. That, of course, goes without saying, because after all, he gave himself for us when we were enemies of God. But beyond that, there's something remarkable about the way that he gave himself for us. So I want to look at just briefly a few things, including the crucifixion, as well as some of the events leading up to that, and to point out that his focus was always on others. So the first, let's look at, consider Jesus in the upper room. After celebrating the Passover, he kneels to wash the disciples' feet, to teach them a lesson about being servants. He takes the time to warn Peter about his arrogance and caution him about the night's coming events. And he spends a great deal of time comforting all the disciples about his impending departure and instructing them about the coming comforter. And then consider Jesus in the garden. Even in the midst of praying about his own fears, he knows that his desire is not of ultimate importance. Then he wakes the disciples and warns them to be watchful and to pray that they won't fall into temptation. When the soldiers come and arrest him, he stops the entire process in order to reach down and heal an injured slave. Then consider Jesus at his trial. In this, the biggest sham of a trial that has ever been performed, Jesus had every right to be indignant about the violation of his rights and of every legal and ethical standard. And yet, when he heard the rooster crow, he took the time to find Peter standing nearby and give him that look, the convicting, yet loving and reassuring look that was needed to drive him to repentance. Then consider Jesus on the road to the cross. After he had been sentenced, we find him carrying his cross to Golgotha while a group of women follow him and weep over him. And again, he stops everything so he can turn and warn them of the coming destruction over which they should be weeping. And then finally, consider Jesus on the cross. When every breath was precious and every word agonizing, Jesus remained concerned for others. He looked out for the spiritual well-being of those crucifying him when he said, "Father, forgive them." The thief being crucified with him when he said, "You will be with me in paradise." And all of mankind, when referring to the plan to redeem man, he said, "It is finished." And he concerned himself with the fulfillment of prophecy when he said, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me, and I thirst?" We can see something remarkable about how Jesus faced the last hours of his life, a life designed to bring him to the cross. Certainly, he was fully aware of what faced him. Surely, he knew that he was about to undergo the most horrific method of execution man has ever devised. There's no doubt that Jesus had every right to be preoccupied with himself and his immediate future, more right than we have ever had for our constant self-concern. And yet everything that Jesus said and did as he approached the cross had someone else as its focus, just as he had lived his entire life. So why is it sometimes that we have such a hard time focusing on him? And focusing on him isn't something that we are only to do when gathered around the Lord's table. We can meditate about Jesus for his sacrifice for 15 minutes while partaking in the memorial feast on Sunday, but we still do so in an unworthy manner if we later go out and live a life that's contrary to that sacrifice. And so that really is the crux of the matter, that I am to live a life that is focused on Jesus' sacrifice, because he made his sacrifice focused on me.